perceived as inconsistent and unclear. Like any competitive marketplace, the market for votes is filled with consumers who have already committed to a worldview, who have a bias in favor of their current choice, and are delighted to ignore or even denigrate alternative brands. The temptation in politics is to be so certain of the facts of your case that you arrogantly believe you can persuade people to change their minds. But voters, like all consumers, hate to admit they're wrong. The only way to change minds is to get past the filters and safeguards that people erect to insulate themselves from opposing points of view, and then to tell a story that spreads. And in today's political climate, those stories are far more expensive than they ever were before. Advice to the candidates for 2008. Understand that half the voting population has a worldview that will cause a traditional partisan story to be ignored. Hillary Clinton, more than others, has a worldview problem because the vast majority of the electorate has already told itself a story about her. Same thing is true for John Ashcroft. He has no chance to tell his story to a large portion of the electorate. The worldview it holds about him has already been set. Conventional political wisdom says that either candidate with a good enough organization and enough money has a shot. I don't buy it. I believe that there isn't enough money in circulation to persuade those voters that have already made up their minds to change them. If you start a campaign unable to speak to the people who need to hear your message, you've lost before you even begin. And the only way Ashcroft or Clinton can win is by persuading millions of people to change their minds. As we've seen, that's practically impossible for something as trivial as a brand of cosmetics. For a politician, it's inconceivable. Post-consumption consumers. Stories only work because consumers buy what they don't need. When a person really needs something, food, water, shelter, he cares a great deal about the essence of the purchase. If he's really hungry, the food is more important than the package. But being really hungry in our society is, fortunately, pretty rare. Today, the world is richer than it has ever been before. Even poor people in this country own a color TV set. As a result, most everyone has what she needs, with the exception of medicine. Alyssa is buying bottled water, not because she's thirsty. Thirst can be quenched for free anywhere in the United States. What she wants is convenience or peace of mind or the satisfaction of knowing that she's got water from Fiji or Tanzania in her hand. She buys bottled water because she wants it, not because she needs it. If consumers have everything they need, there's nothing left to buy except stuff they want. And the reason they buy stuff they want is because of the way it makes them feel. This occurs just as often with products sold to businesses. The myth of product superiority in business-to-business products is just that, a myth. The people who buy for business are people first, and they buy things that get them promoted, that make them feel safe and secure, or that give them a sense of belonging. The battle between Salesforce.com and Siebel is a great example. Even though Salesforce.com has a significantly better software-on-demand product by any measure, Siebel continues to make sales of their inferior competitive product. Ingersoll Rand bought Siebel's product because they were in the middle of a crisis and couldn't take the time to try an alternative. The reason people stick with Siebel is simple. If you've been a Siebel customer for a decade, it's far easier to justify the decision to stick with that company to your boss. And that's what you're buying. Not software, but the justification, the story. Consumers care a lot about the buying process. They care a lot about packaging and peer approval and out-of-the-box new product experience. They care about the provenance of the item and the circumstances under which it was made. Sure, once something is purchased, people care about durability, but they care far more about the way the staff at the company treats them when it breaks. Is there a connection between the utility of a product or service and the way it makes a person feel? Of course there is. A consumer shapes his desires based on what he's heard about the utility from other people. He is excited to see a movie because the reviewer said it was good. He wants to buy a Dodge Viper because of the acceleration, or he wants to hire an accountant from Deloitte because the firm helped another company so dramatically. Consumers are not so fashion conscious that all utilities are relevant. But is the utility of the product the main way people shape their desires? No way. And that, in two words, is why you need these ideas. In almost every meeting I go to, people are desperate to understand why, their product or service isn't selling better. They always begin by pointing out how good their product is, how much better, faster, more durable it is. They are obsessed with utility, and they can't understand why the market isn't responding to their microanalysis of the difference between their offering and that of their competitor. We don't want what you sell, friend. We buy what we want. Summary, step 4. Stories let us lie to ourselves, and those lies satisfy our desires. It's the story, not the good or the service you actually sell, that pleases the consumer.